Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Texans training camp begins in earnest. Nick Caserio spoke. We'll hear from him a little bit later. But the guys are out on the field. And I wish football people were as petty as baseball people, because as soon as the Super Bowl ends, baseball people run to Twitter, all the accounts go, it's baseball time now. It's baseball time now, when there are multiple things going on between the end of the Super Bowl and actually a pitch being thrown that matters in baseball, with basketball going, hockey going, college sports still going on, college basketball in particular. But all the baseball people like to tweet out, it's baseball season now. Football people aren't doing that, because it's kind of always football season. There's always people who want to talk football. But the Texans are out on the field. Caserio spoke about expectations. He spoke about all the talk not mattering. And we'll hear some sound from him a little bit later about what he expects of his rookies. And this is a rookie class where I'm not sure, outside of Kamar Lassiter, you're going to expect a lot from, because Lance told us he's Kamar Lassiter, despite having the reputation coming in, or at least the expectation coming in, of being someone who would be a nickel or an inside slot corner, that he's going to play on the outside, at least to start. And we know the Texans have, I won't say heavily invested, but they've thrown bodies at that position outside of, or at least on the opposite side of Derek Stingley with Okuda and Henderson. But Lassiter's going to get his opportunity. So, but other than him, I'm not sure there's much to discuss as far as rookies, outside of fitting in, maybe playing a bit of a smaller role. Certainly safety and Bullock may get some opportunities, but you got a pretty well-stocked roster. So the likelihood of another rookie popping like Tank Dell is probably a little low. And, of course, C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson's great rookie class last year. I don't know if you're going to get that one this year, because you just have a lot of talented guys who are going to be taking up those spots. So, Kamari Lassiter may be the one. So we're going to hear from Nick Caserio in a little bit before we wrap up the segment. You know, a lot of guys making mention of Kenyon Green looking healthy, and I don't know how you know that just because he walked out from the facility to the practice field, but people are taking note of his size, and at least he's walking without any restrictions in shirt. In a shirt and shorts. So that's good. He is in a battle for one of those interior positions. A lot of it is in question because he's not one of, I guess, D'Amico's guys, although D'Amico has spoke glowingly on Kenyon Green's hard work, but he was drafted for a different system. I guess more importantly, is he a Bobby Slowick guy? Is he going to fit what the Texans want to do? He was part of the old regime that lasted a year. I mean, Caserio's been around for longer than that, so I guess he's the bridge. But if we're just talking about Lovie Smith, that's when Kenyon Green was drafted. But that's a talented player in the first round. If you can get a bounce back year like you got out of Derek Stingley, at least when he was healthy and on the field, then that just adds to the first round success that Caserio's had more recently. So the roster looks pretty good, and we're going to hear from Caserio. We also have a story about the Texans and how they compare to some of the other teams in the league as far as their rosters, Because we had a story we went through yesterday, maybe, or maybe it was Tuesday, about strength of schedule. And it was based off of the rosters that are returning, not how the teams did last year, not their expectations as far as who's going to win the division, just strength of the roster. And the Texans have a strength of schedule that is the fourth toughest. So it's not just by name or belief. It's about the talent they're going to face on a week-to-week basis and how does their talent stack up. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, I did want to hear from Nick Cassero here before we wrap up the segment. So, as I mentioned, the rookie class is one that you may not get the pop you got from last year's, but there are some spots where they can contribute, and Nick Cassero has some expectations about that. I don't know if now we're doing some little behind-the-scenes stuff. It should be in the downloads. I'm not sure if I told you. I didn't tell Austin when we were doing the changeover. He's coming in. I'm leaving the room. So sometimes things get lost. It should just be under downloads. And when we get have that ready, he'll let me know. So we'll get to that. We'll also talk about a tweet about C.J. Stroud, which projects good news for the Texans going forward. We've got news on Cam Whitmore. Nothing major, but he has been, at least through his first two games, one of the best players in Summer League. And game three wasn't great. And after that, the Rockets have made a decision on his availability the rest of the way. But here's Nick Cassero discussing expectations for his rookie class.
No, it's a great opportunity for them. So, honestly, we don't care where they come from, how they get here, what their level of experience is. DeMeco has talked about this. I mean, he enjoys coaching the rookies and seeing the rookies grow and develop more than coaching veterans. So, we're not opposed to playing anybody. So, rookie, 10th year player, doesn't really matter who you are. If you're the best player, if you're the best option, and you've earned the opportunity with your performance, you're going to play. So there's no guardrails. So we go into it, we kind of start from scratch, we'll evaluate how the players perform with their opportunities, and then we'll put the players on the field that have earned that right. So just because they were drafted where they were drafted, doesn't really matter. It's all about your performance. But we're not opposed to putting young players on the field as soon as they're ready, and we've shown that.
They did show that. And last year worked out well for them. Before the draft, and really even before there was real talk of who they were going after during free agency, Nick Cassero discussed there weren't a lot of open roster spots on this team. This is a roster he believed was pretty well put together. And I would agree. I think the rookie class is one where if somebody shows out, great. But I don't think it'll be dependent on that like it was in 2023, where you needed guys from that class to be really, really good players, and all of them exceeded expectations. The only thing that really hampered it was the injury to Tank Dell. But other than that, the guys who played and played a lot, those were hits, and it changed the trajectory of that team last year and maybe the franchise overall. So that was Cassero. There's more to get to from Texas training camp as that is officially opened up with players on the field. There's also a story. We're talking a lot about the Texans draft. There is a grade on the Astros draft. Not great. We'll talk about that. They decided to take guys who played in college. That was their main focus, and a lot of it was attributed to their small bonus pool. And the grades aren't great on that. And, of course, doesn't matter right now. We're years away. Well, maybe not. Maybe not years, because they did take college players, but it could be a little bit before some of those guys are even contributors to the team. But at least one person's thoughts on it is don't expect much, at least early on. So we'll talk about that. And once again, we'll get to some other things as well, because there are more reports regarding who might be the coach of the United States national team. Big names if you're into world soccer. Those names are getting thrown around. Less MLS coaches, more international coaches, whether they be from the Premier League or Serie A, or coaches or managers who have managed international teams in major tournaments. So if they're shooting for the stars, cool. Question, can they land one of those stars to get us ready for World Cup 2026? So a lot to get to. First segment out of the way. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I mentioned a tweet that may be a predictor of good things to come. This is from Adam Schefter. C.J. Stroud became the eighth rookie starting quarterback since 1950 to win a playoff game. Does that mean good news for Houston? Five of the previous seven quarterbacks who won a playoff game their second season, five of the previous seven quarterbacks also won a playoff game their second season, and two of them, Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson, won the Super Bowl. I don't know if we're going to just drop Super Bowl in his second year on him, but I think the expectation is to at least win another playoff game. They're the division favorites. How that comes about, that's up for debate. The schedule's tougher. Fourth strongest overall, if you go by ESPN and Mike Clay's rankings. But if it's 10-7 or 11-6, this team is expected to make the playoffs, you're winning the division and hosting a playoff game. And of course, will be all matchup dependent. We're talking about something months from now. But yeah, I think winning a playoff game in his second year is the minimum I think a lot of people expect for a CJ. We had John Chill on in the previous show, and the odds for CJ winning the MVP put him where he would be one of the top favorites. You don't get great odds on it if you thought you could put some money down on him, but that's where the expectations are. And we had a quote, or we played some sound from Nick Caserio talking about the expectations for his rookies. And of course, because of the talk of his team and what they can or can't accomplish, expectations overall were a talking point early on in his first availability of training camp. And he said what you would expect. He pretty much said expectations are for you guys. They're not for us. That doesn't change what we do or who we are. We're just going to go out there and this team will do all the coach or executive stuff cliches. One step at a time, we're going to build. You want to be a great teammate, have a good attitude, all the things he expects of his team. And all the talk can be saved for the media. And, of course, that's not a surprising approach, and maybe even that's the right approach. But that's not going to dampen the noise. This is the team expected to do good things and big things. I haven't found one person that said slow down on the Texans. Not one. Maybe we'll get into training camp and someone, you know, looking for engagement will flip the script and say that. But at the moment, the Texans are one of those teams. In fact, I saw it on ESPN this morning. Are the Texans the clear contender to keep the Chiefs from making another Super Bowl? That was the question on the Cryon. And I still think the Ravens, until proven otherwise, are at least a clear number two. They dominate the Texans last year. Different teams, different years, but show me you can go beat one of the top contenders, and we'll have that conversation. But that ain't going to calm anyone down, no matter how much Nick Caserio wants everyone to calm down. Somebody they're going to face in week two is Caleb Williams and the Bears. The Bears are another team, not with the same expectations, but I would say Caleb Williams is going to come into 2024 with higher expectations than CJ Stroud did in 2023. And the Bears have outfitted him with weapons that people at least, and a roster on his face, people believe is a better offensive core than the Texans had entering it. We know Nico Collins, Tank Dell, shot all that worst core in football out of here when they did what they did. But the Bears are coming in with much bigger hype on Dunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. That core is expected to do something, and they finally get their starting quarterback in the fold. Caleb Williams, I wouldn't say he was negotiating his own deal, but he was the guy representing himself because he didn't have an agent, and the NFL doesn't want non-agents talking and being a representative of the player. So if he doesn't have his agent, then he would have to be the one doing the negotiating. I don't think he was alone, but he tried to get some things off that no one has done. At least it hasn't been made public, and the NFL kind of shot it down. He wanted the money to be put into an LLC, which would avoid taxes. He wanted something in his contract that stipulated that he couldn't be franchise tagged at the end of his rookie deal, which there is nothing that says that can't be asked for, but the NFL, maybe they made up a rule on the fly and said, no, that can't happen. I respect it. I respect the game. You're trying to lessen the taxes put on the money you're going to get, and you're also trying to keep them from, now, the franchise tag for a quarterback's big money, but he pretty much was trying to be in the realm of give me a long-term deal or let me be a free agent, which would put a lot of pressure on the Bears to get a long-term deal done if he was a really good player. But none of that happened. He gets a standard deal, and he'll be in camp, and the Texans will see him in the Hall of Fame game. Maybe for he's a rookie, so he'll probably get more than a series, maybe a couple, and obviously they'll see him in the regular season. So there that is. Caleb Williams gets his deal done. Not a generational player, but certainly a guy with a lot of expectations, and we'll see how he responds. We know, at least in this city, that rookie quarterbacks can be really good. We'll see if Caleb Williams is the next on the list, or maybe there's a surprise in Minnesota or somewhere else. I have my doubts about J.J. McCarthy. He wasn't even given the starting job in training camp. They named Sam Darnold the starter, like in the middle of the summer and during a voluntary workout. Certainly, J.J. McCarthy has a chance to win that job, but right now he's the backup of Minnesota, and Michael Penix isn't expected to play. I'm trying to think of the other guys. Jaden Daniels will be the starter in Washington. And Drake May, as at this point, is not the starter in New England. So I would probably put Caleb Williams at the forefront of the Rookie of the Year race. And you think about it, because they have the top overall pick, but they weren't the worst team in football. They owned the Panthers pick. So that team was fortunate to make the trade. And they get a big-time wide receiver in DJ Moore out of it. And they wind up with the number one pick overall. So Ryan Poles made a shrewd move. And now you have what they hope is their starting quarterback for the future, which should be a pretty good team, so they could get off to a flying start. So maybe that Bears game will be a little tougher than you think if you're a Texans fan, considering they had a number one overall pick. Sticking with the draft, let's move to the Astros. The Astros finished up their draft, and I talked about it in the previous segment and even on yesterday's show, how they were a team who focused on college players. Well, they were given one of the lowest grades for their draft haul. Does it mean anything? Probably not for a lot of us, because did we actually see any of these players play? There are some people who listen to the show or listen to the station, like Niall, who will have known all about these guys. But according to this article in Sports Illustrated, very low, and the ranking was given by CBS Sports. So Dana Brown has hit on picks, but according to one evaluator, this won't be a great draft class, which would be par for the course as far as what people think of the Astros and their farm system. Not ranked very high. They've traded guys away like Drew Gilbert. They made that move for Justin Verlander. And a lot of the guys who they depend on are up. Like one of their best prospects, Lo Perfido, is playing due to injury and lack of production. He's up playing. So I guess he's still considered part of the minor league system, but Jake Bloss is up pitching because of injury. So it appears from the outside that there's not a lot of depth or talent, but we see all the reports. We see the tweets about plenty of guys doing big things. And I guess Pedro Leon is one of the guys you can be excited about as well. So the draft is over in baseball. And unfortunately for us, the most memorable part of it is that RBI young lady getting booed by the Arlington fans. So I guess we'll talk about these players in a couple years. We'll have a conversation about whether they were a bad draft haul or not. When we come back, we'll talk about Cam Whitmore and his time with the Rocket Summer League being over. We'll get into why a supermodel thinks like I do when it comes to baseball. I know that's a weird comp to make, but it's true. It's true. She feels just like I do when it comes to the length of a Major League Baseball season. So we'll get to that and a couple other things as well. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Before we get to the Rockets and their decision on Cam Whitmore, I want to let you know about a chance to win a $50 gift card from J Bar M Barbecue. And the chance ends at noon today. We started it yesterday at noon. It ends today at noon. How you enter? All you have to do is go to one of our social media accounts, whether it be Instagram or Facebook. So obviously ESPN 97.5 on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook the same way. And you got a chance to win that $50 gift card. They brought food up here before. It was great. I love the ribs. They're awesome. And so it's world-class barbecue, crafted cocktails, under the stars, and live music. JBarM provides all that. So if you want a chance to still get in and win that $50 gift card, ESPN 97.5 on Instagram and on Facebook. Those are your chances to win. You'll be instructed on how to do that once you get there. Thank you to JBarM. Okay, Cam Whitmore is done with Summer League. He's one of those players you didn't expect to make it all the way through. He has played a lot of real NBA minutes. He was the Summer League MVP last year. I think the Rockets saw all they need to see. Of course, the 1-for-15 ain't a great way to end your Summer League experience, but he was much better in the two games before paired with Reed Shepard. So what can Cam Whitmore get out of it being a second-year player, beating up on rookies or guys who are still trying to scratch and claw to maybe even remain in the G League? Not much. There's not much. Cam Whitmore is in a role that he probably won't get a lot of opportunities to be in when he's in an NBA season, being in some cases the number one option, and certainly Reed Shepard will get his usage as well in Summer League. Cam Whitmore's not going to spend a lot of time doing that. He is, at this point, a guy off the bench who certainly a scorer. Is he going to become a guy who's better as a facilitator in the half court? That's certainly a part of his game he can work on. Just not sure he was going to get a lot of opportunities in Summer League with that roster. So he's done. He did what he had to do. And we'll see Cam Whitmore once training camp begins for the Rockets. Now, as far as Reed Shepard, you'd expect him, as long as he stays healthy, to play the rest of the way. Maybe he can duplicate what Cam did last year. The Rockets have two straight Summer League MVPs. And Reed Shepard's been really good. And people are taking notice of how the Rockets built that roster. In fact, the Low Post had a discussion about the Rockets. And Kevin Pelton, who's on the Low Post, we have the sound. We'll play it here in a little bit. He was discussing a lot of the teams and where they stand. Some of the talk began with the Warriors. And they're trying to find a way to upgrade their roster and remain a team who can be in contention. The Rockets aren't striving for that so much, although we did hear all the talk about trying to acquire a star. But as far as what the roster is right now, I think it's very positive. We heard from Ryan Rossillo yesterday about Reed Shepard. Kevin Pelton talked about Reed Shepard and the rest of that Rockets roster. Here's Kevin Pelton on the Low Post discussing what the Rockets have built.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how everyone's trying to, you know, now the Rockets have become the model. A year ago, like, there were extreme skepticism about a lot of the young players, and all it takes is 1 year, I guess, to become the model. But it also requires, like, hitting on a lot of your draft picks, even though they missed on some later ones that they moved on from. They hit on a lot of the lottery picks.
One of the guys that moved on from was Josh Christopher, who's playing in the Summer League and had a big game a couple games ago. So you take a lot of swings. Sometimes they're going to work out. Sometimes they don't. And, of course, one of their bigger swings is Jalen Green. And you would probably say at this point it's been a middling return. He isn't a star yet. He is still a guy who people feel good about because of potential, and he certainly had a big month of March this past season. But you hit clearly on Şengün. You're hoping Jalen Green lives up to the expectations. But overall, the roster is really nice mix of veterans. And if Reed Shepard's going to add to the mix, you throw in Tari Eason and Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson, you can't knock the Rockets for how they've acquired young talent. And it's very similar to what the Texans have done, particularly when you heard Kevin Pelton, mention in 1 year, we go from all the skepticism, and the Texans felt the same thing. The questioning of trading up, the questioning of taking C.J. Stroud, and then doubling up with Will Anderson. It was a lot of, that's going to be the worst trade in recent draft memory because they're going to be bad, so that pick's going to go, and it's going to be a top five pick. And, of course, you hit on the right quarterback and all the expectations change. So I think that the Texans are further ahead because they have a clear star at the most position, at the most important position. Whatever you think of Sengun as a 22-year-old big, I'm not sure, despite the transition for the NBA where bigs are being more and more important, I'm not sure the comp is correct with him and CJ. CJ's talent and ability holds far more importance in how the Texans do and what they'll achieve. Because if we go back, as great as Sengun was and can be, the Rockets were a bad basketball team when he was healthy. Which is, I'm not criticizing him for that. It's just what it was. They weren't good. They were a team scuffling. Now, they had started to play better before he got hurt. But just the way it broke, he gets hurt at the start of their run. It continues after he leaves. And, of course, they ran out of gas and eventually fought their way to 500. But he certainly hasn't had the impact on winning. And, once again, not on him. It's just the reality. So the Rockets need to find that guy. They need to find their version of C.J. Stroud. They tried to do it with an older player in the offseason, allegedly. We heard all the reports about who they're trying to trade for. And, of course, those didn't come to fruition. All the noise before the draft about if they take Klingon, that means they're trying to trade Sengun. Turns out they took the right guy. And now one of the guys that was taken ahead of Reed Sheppard, Alex Sarr, has changed his number from 12 to 20. What the importance of that is, I don't know. But I did find it funny. A lot of people are like, he shot so bad that he's trying to make people forget by changing his number and maybe changing his identity by going from 12 to 20. Maybe 20 wasn't available at the time he made the choice, or maybe he thinks 12 was bad vibes. I don't know. You know what? If I was 0 for 15 in a game as the number 2 overall pick, I changed my number for the vibes. I got to get that off me. Anything. I said it yesterday. Throw that man a lob. Get him a layup. He's probably not great around the rim right now. He's 7 foot tall or 7 feet tall, but skinny. Get that man to pick and roll and throw a lob. It's not that hard. Unless you don't have anybody who can make a lob pass on that roster, which is possible. It is summer league. So more evidence that the Rockets know what they're doing while the Wizards, who have been bad for a long time, don't. Your number one pick, second overall, but first rounder, it shook so badly, he's changing his number. And you know what? I can't blame him. I'm trying to think what the equivalent of going 0 for 15 is for me. Like if I doofed every break. Austin, you're producing this show. What would be the equivalent for you in your job if you played the wrong rejoin every break?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good start.
What else could it be? If I threw to some sound and it was completely wrong, it's very hard. Because then you have to think about it. You have all the advantages of being 7 feet tall and in a game and in a league where you're supposed to be more talented than pretty much everyone out there because you're the second overall pick. I don't know what the equivalent is for a producer. I mean, longer arms. I don't know. But a touchscreen. I don't know. But over 15 is tough. Tough. Scoreless and 0 for 15. Didn't even get to the free throw line. Or if he did, he missed them all.
I think he missed 2 free throws.
So he was 0 for 17 in attempts to try to score. It's a rough one for Sarr. Change your number. I was scoffing at it, but yeah, change it. Anything. Maybe he's superstitious. No such problems with Reed Sheppard as the Rockets are. Got to be thrilled with him so far. They are a team much like the Texans where the positivity is coming from places where it didn't come before. They were mocked from the likes of Ryan Russillo and some of the Ringer crew, and ESPN, which the low post is under that umbrella, what positive things could they have said about the Rockets? There was no reason to. And now there's plenty of reason to, where they have one of the brighter futures in the NBA. They just have to capitalize. They're going to have opportunities, whether it be through draft picks or assets to go make a move if they so choose, or they can sit tight. But they're in a pretty good spot. The issue will be if they get desperate to make a leap. If they don't get a leap from their players internally, that drives them to, let's say, I think the example is the Thunder, where the Thunder were a play-in team a couple years ago, and now they may be the best team in the West. They had the number one seed, but lost to Dallas because Dallas's role players shot the hell out of the ball and then reverted back to not shooting in the finals. So if the Thunder are number one and they have a clear MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, if we're just talking about internal growth, who's the MVP candidate for the Rockets? Shingun's a little, well, they're all young, but Shingun at 22, I think, not going to be the guy. I don't want to put it all on him, but I just use a comp because Shai's a guard and he's a guard. If we're talking about a guy lifting his game and lifting the Rockets, it's got to be Jalen Green. If he's going to be great, then the Rockets have a real shot to be good quicker than people thought and without having to expend capital in assets to get it done. Keep your picks, keep your players, and have Jalen Green explode this season, and then you have a different conversation about you've got two legit stars, and now you're talking about keeping your potential role players. I don't want to put Jabari and Amen Thompson in that box just yet, but then I'll start to have a real belief in this alleged core six or core seven, which is still too many because you can't pay all those guys. But one guy on this Rocket team needs to make a big jump. I think Shingun will have incremental steps that lead him to being one of the better bigs in the league. You need a perimeter player to match him. And at this point, maybe it's going to be Reed Sheppard, but I don't know if I can ask that of him in year one. You want a big deal, Jalen Green? Become the star that your draft status and potential suggests you could be. And then the Rockets are in an even better position than they are now. And if you want to bet on those Rockets, because you think they've got a real shot to be better than maybe some of the odds suggest, go to MyBookie. You can go to MyBookie.ag and bet on the Rockets and their futures. Or you can bet on baseball as it comes back this Friday. We do have actual games that matter back on Friday. So MyBookie allows you to do the sports betting thing if that's what you choose. You can also be someone who takes advantage of their live casino. If you just like cards, you don't want to see the odds, you don't want to see lines, you just want to play cards, they have that for you too. They have the live dealer option. MyBookie provides the best of everything with the sign-up bonus, bet975. You got a chance to make your money go further. And if you're just returning as an existing customer, that works too, bet975. So remember, whatever your interests are, MyBookie has something for you because they let you bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So Warren Sharp is always a source of information if you just want a bit of anything on the NFL. And now that we're into training camps, I guess we can officially start talking about who spent the most money this offseason. So Austin, I'm going to pose the question to you. If you can think back on what happened this offseason with quarterbacks getting money, receivers getting their money, and rosters overall. And let me rephrase it because I read the initial tweet wrong. These are the most expensive offenses in football this year. So think about them. If you can think about quarterbacks who've already gotten their deals, receivers and running backs who've already gotten their deals, and of course offensive linemen, all the things. But those are the big salary positions, left tackle on the offensive line. Who do you think is number one? Just a guess.
Kansas City?
You would think, but they don't pay the receivers yet. And the running backs, no. They're all on like those rookie deals. And, of course, Travis Kelce has his. The offensive lineman, that's not a bad one. They do pay their offensive line. Kansas City is actually third, so you're not that far off. But they are about $20 million less than the number one. So they're three. Okay, you've got three. That's a nice hit. Where do you think who do you think are one and two?
I feel like the Browns are up there.
They're number one. The Browns are number one. Amari, Chubb, and of course, number four, Deshaun Watson. Two pretty good guesses. And the Rams are two with Stafford, and of course Cooper Kupp got his money, and they've given money out to the offensive line as well. So those are your top three. Cowboys are four. It would get higher if they gave Dak his money this offseason. They didn't do that. But they're spending cash. And then the Falcons. A lot of that has to do with Kirk Cousins. Ugh. I don't know. I don't think the Falcons are going to get the bang for their buck. They are a top five spender on offense. And do we expect the Falcons offense to be dynamic? They've got players that have been drafted, but those guys are young. Like Bijan, rookie deal. Kyle Pitts, rookie deal. Drake London, rookie deal. All that Kirk Cousins money. Ugh. Please, no. It's a lot of money to be spending on offense to hopefully go 9-8, 10-7 at most. Because you look at the other teams. Well, I guess the Rams may not fall under this. But the Browns, if they got good production from Deshaun Watson, would probably consider themselves right on the edge of being a Super Bowl contender. If their quarterback played well, the Rams made the playoffs, pushed the Lions in their playoff game. But they're better than the Falcons. Of course, we know about the Chiefs. The Cowboys, they win the division. They won the division. They play good football in the regular season. Their issue, obviously, is the playoffs. But they would probably consider themselves, despite everyone scoffing at them, they would consider themselves a Super Bowl contender too. Falcons are the one that are like, you? And then the Giants. The Giants are at number six on most expensive offenses. They're not getting bang for their buck, the Giants. The Daniel Jones thing is a big problem. And the Texans are 14th with giving Mixon his money, Tunsil his money. Also, Titus Howard's gotten paid. And, of course, Stephon Diggs, although they made it a one-year deal, he's getting a lot of money as well, too. But I would probably say outside of Laremy Tunsil, their best players aren't making a lot of money on offense. Oh, cool. Oh, I forgot Nico. There's the other one. So I take what I just said back. Nico, I forgot about Nico getting his deal this year too. So, but still only 14th overall, and that is because your quarterback is making next to nothing, relatively speaking, when it comes to his production and what his peers who are doing the same type of things are making. If you could guess who's spending the least amount of money on offense this year, who do you think it is?
Got to think of a cheap team.
Or a team with a young quarterback. That's probably the first clue. A team with a young quarterback who they don't have to pay him yet, or they did, or he doesn't have a big deal. But think about all the teams out there. And I'll say it's a good football team. It's a good football team, so that narrows it down. They're not paying a lot to their offensive guys right now. It'll come eventually, but not now.
Indianapolis?
They are actually higher than you think. They're seventh. Quentin Nelson's getting his money. They're giving guys money. Did Pittman get a deal this year? But it's a good NFC team. Playoff team from last year.
San Francisco?
No. I know what you're saying because Ayuk is one who's not getting his money yet, and it led to a trade request. Debo got his money. San Francisco's actually eighth. It is the Packers. Jordan Love has a deal that isn't representative of what he played like last year. The Packers gave him a deal to avoid, even before he started playing well, they gave him a deal to avoid a potential, it was a short-term deal, to avoid a situation where he might have jumped up his play and now they're on the hook for a large deal because he's going to become a free agent. They avoided that scenario. They're going to eventually pay him more. They may even renegotiate after this season. But the receivers are all young guys. They're all And their guys are who aren't first-rounders, so they don't have to pay them. And that offensive line without Bakhtiari on it isn't one that's overly expensive. So the Packers, they're getting, I would say, if we're judging teams as far as money spent versus production, I think the Packers are probably getting the most out of what they're spending. It'll change quickly because Jordan Love's going to get himself a big deal if he keeps playing like he is. And I've seen a lot of Packer people push back on who is the best young quarterback, although Jordan Love's been in the league a little bit longer than CJ certainly. But they say, hey, they've pretty much accomplished the same thing. Why is CJ Stroud considered so much better when they both have the one playoff appearance to their name and one playoff win? CJ was a rookie, and that helps. But when Jordan Love got a full opportunity, particularly in the back half of the year, he showed out too. So I've just seen a debate going back and forth, for of all things, a Packers versus Texans debate by some of their pundits and some of their analysts and some of the fans talking about who's the better young quarterback. And we think about Jordan Love as almost a washout before, like the back half of last year, but he played really well. Probably should have been at least in the NFC title game if we remember back to that game. The 32 touchdowns, 11 picks overall, over 4,100 yards. He had a really good year and really exploded the last half of the season and had a good postseason too. So he's one of the better young quarterbacks league in a league that's actually stocked with them. Now, there are questions about how much some of these guys should get paid, but if you start to look around, sure, there are places where young quarterbacks are either flopping or don't have any game tape because they're rookies. But the league's got a lot of good young quarterbacks, and that's going to mean a lot of guys are going to get paid. And, of course, CJ's well on his way. So that'll wrap up hour one here on the show. I mean, see, look at that. That is 4 hours of the station being on with local programming. And for 1 hour of that four, no golf talk. I take pride in that, actually. I didn't even make a reference to it. In fact, when I got in here, the Open was on, or the Open Championship, or the British Open, depending on what you want to call it. I immediately turned the channel. I immediately turned it to debate television because that's a better option for me. We got a call. Someone wants to talk about Jordan Love. We'll get to that when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. Oh, it's Julian, the 49er fan. He got a taste of Jordan Love in the playoffs and almost lost to him. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.